Welcome to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer, a show full of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. And now here is your host, Nicola Beer, who specializes in a proven 10-step program to help couples increase their love, passion, and happiness in their marriage in 30 days or less, guaranteed.
Hi and welcome to the Nicola Beer Show. I'm thrilled you're with us for this episode where we're focusing on anger, and that includes passive aggressiveness and angry outbursts, angry silences. So welcome, and I just want to introduce my co-host Eddie Skerritt. Welcome, Eddie.
Hi, Nicola.
And he is going to be joining us as well to talk about the topic of anger. So anger is a difficult topic for many couples, because it often there is one person in the couple that has angry outbursts, and this really isn't anger. This is really anger when it turns to rage. Other anger can also be passive aggressiveness anger, where anger actually turns to resentment. And that's the whole key, because healthy anger is natural, and it's a natural emotion for us to get angry. And this is how the fight or flight works. This is a normal emotion that we all have, but it's how you deal with that, and whether you deal with that as a responsible adult and you express yourself and then let it go, or whether you decide, well, I'm not going to say anything, I don't want any confrontation, and then hold on to it. And that's really when it starts affecting you, and it can affect your health, it can affect every area of your life. And that's resentment. And resentment is small parts of anger that are stored over time. And it works like a chain resentment. So what happens is, after a few years, you can be in a relationship, and then something that your partner does can all of a sudden trigger this whole chain. And rather than reacting to something small, you explode, or you say something really, really hurtful. Or, you know, you do something else that is out of character. And that's because anger has not been dealt with. So this is really, we're going to be sharing some tips. We're going to be talking about anger. And we're going to be sharing some tips on what you can do if anger is a problem in your life or in your relationship. Then what is passive aggressive anger? So passive aggressive anger is where you, rather than communicate your anger, or you sort of deny it, but then you act aggressively anyway. So this can be things like silence, like absence, withdrawal, and also where you don't cooperate, where you say, I'm not going to go on holiday at all with you, or I'm not going to go on that trip at all, or I'm not going to do this, and you just completely refuse to cooperate. Now that really is anger acting out, being acted out. And it doesn't help relationships. Also, angry silence is also equally as bad as outbursts for relationships, because if you're both being silent, or one of you's being silent, then you can't really get the issues that are actually causing the anger resolved. So that's what we're going to be talking about. And I'd like to just pass over to Eddie to see what he thinks and how he helps his clients with anger in their relationships.
Yeah, thanks, Nicola. It's such a diverse and broad issue. There's so many different elements of anger and resentment and triggers, and you know, so these are some of the things you mentioned. So to unpack some of it, when we get angry, it can really happen for two reasons. One can be in the moment things that actually make people angry, and the other is that it is really being triggered by events from the past. And resentment is essentially a grounding for anger, for any anger triggering from the past. So if your anger is based on an actual relationship issue, then of course that's going to be manifested in overall resentment over time, and can be triggered by specific events. But sometimes in a relationship, there's another two things can happen with triggers. One can be that it isn't a resentment-based thing, and the trigger is actually to do with the individual. And the other individual hasn't done things over and over and over. So let's say in a scenario, let's look at a scenario where a husband is triggered by his wife and has an angry outburst, or becomes very angry, not just in a short outburst, but over a period. And it's been triggered not because of something that's happened in any repetitive sort of way. Now, this could be a past event in life that has then been drudged up by that experience. So sometimes with clients, I will look at what's happened in their childhood or early development periods and how those experiences that might be traumatic or difficult for them and have created frustration and resentment internally can then be triggered in events later. And you sort of have to explore this with people individually. This isn't something where you can just go, oh, well, you know, that sort of anger or outburst is a trigger from this thing, and that's what it is for everybody. Of course, it's very specific to each individual. So it is a diverse topic, and it can be very complicated, and it can be very confusing for spouses. And it's also worth noting that there are actual disorders where anger is a part of it. So if you look at something like borderline personality disorder, it's in about 3% of the population, and these are people that are very, very easily triggered. So they can flip-flop from I love you, you know, you're amazing, the best person ever, to I hate you, you're the worst person, I can't believe you're in my life, this is just terrible, right? And so when we look at anger, we sort of can't look at it in isolation. You can't look at an angry outburst and say, well, what happened in the situation? And then how do you deal with those situations? In fact, we have to look at the broader, longer-term view of someone's life. Because sometimes it can be a specific occurrence. For example, if someone found out that their partner was cheating and that had never happened before, well, yes, it would be reasonable to be angry in that circumstance. How you deal with that anger is then another topic, but why it's occurring is that exact instance of discovery. But if it was a case of someone, let's say a very similar circumstance but slightly different, someone flirting over time with other people, and this is sort of eroding the relationship, then there could be a resentment build-up. And then you could have it triggered by something that might not be reasonable. It might be talking to a waitress where they're not actually flirting. It's just a normal interaction. Or having a client that is of the opposite sex. And then that could trigger these previous feelings. So it is a dynamic topic. It confuses couples. It confuses people about themselves. Sometimes we don't know why we're angry. There's just so much to unpack in this. And yeah, I'd be really interested to hear some of your thoughts, Nicola, on specific clients you've had, without going into too much detail, obviously, for confidentiality, and how you've identified their anger issue, where it's coming from, and what the ultimate solution might be.
Yeah, anger comes up a lot, actually, in the marriage counselling work that I do. Often it's about tidiness. Sometimes I've had men come where they're really angry that things are out of order in the house because of the children or because of, you know, things aren't as tidy as they would like them to be. So then they take that out on the wife, and they believe that the house should look a certain way and be a certain way, which has intensified a lot of stress in their relationship. So that's sometimes what people get angry about. In other situations, I've been working with a couple where angry outbursts happen after some drinking, and it's turned into a real rage, and it's really about jealousy. So there's another lady that I'm helping that when they go out, she thinks that her husband is looking at lots of different women, and we'll talk about affairs on another episode, but you know, the jealousy can also be a very big trigger, lack of trust. And really there are, say, three mindsets behind anger. And it's important to be aware of these, because if you want to change anger in your relationship, you need to do it yourself. You need to look at yourself I mean, obviously you can work with some counsellors or some coaches to get support, but really you're going to need to look at how to change the behaviour yourself as well. And so you've got to understand what mindset you're coming from if you are finding that you're being very angry. So there is the victim mindset. And this is where you believe that you're angry because they've done you wrong and they're treating you badly, and you play the victim and you say, you know, I'm angry because you always do this or you always do that and you're causing my anger. And then there is the blame mindset, which is, again, similar, but it's like people use anger because they don't want to look at themselves. So they say, okay, I'm blaming you. This is all your fault. You're doing this. And it distracts away from the actual person. So sometimes people use anger in that way to blame someone else. And then the other reason that people get angry or they come from anger is because they have this negativity mindset. And by that, I mean that they just get angry at everything. They think that the world is out to get them, that everything is negative, and they get angry about life, they get angry about everything. And so what you've got to do, and the first step in dealing with anger in your life and in your relationship, is looking at, where is this coming from? Is this really that big a deal that I'm making? Can I let this go? Is it really important? One thing that I love to say and to use with people is to say, will this even matter a month from now or a year from now? And quite often people will say, no, it doesn't matter. It's over something so small. So we look at, okay, is it resentment? And then I can help people clear resentment, various different ways to do that. Or is it just rage and they need to let it out in a healthy way rather than an unhealthy way? And the thing about, like you said, a great point there, is that we learn anger patterns from childhood and we copy often role models, whether it's our parents or teachers at school or other influences. Sometimes it can even be the TV. If we see people, you know, when they get angry, react with rage, violence, then that can sometimes be a pattern that we follow. So we need to break that pattern. And the first way to break the pattern is to look at, what is my part in creating this anger? What am I saying to myself to be angry? What am I thinking to be angry? Because there isn't just an event, you know, A causes C. There's always a B, you know, what do I believe about it? What am I interpreting? And why am I getting angry? And, you know, often it can be, you know, what I'm thinking, that they always do this to me. I want to teach them a lesson. I want to punish them. If I get angry, then they'll change, which is all false. Because even if you do get someone to change because you get angry at them, they're not really going to want to be in a relationship with you long term if that's how you manage the relationships, because it's very manipulative. If you try to teach someone a lesson by shouting at them or getting them to do something, again, it doesn't really work, definitely not long term. In order to influence someone, you need to do the opposite to getting angry. You need to be influencing them by appreciating what you would like them to do, by thanking them for the great things that they are doing, and by being their friend, because we all listen to our friends. We don't listen to people that we're not friends with or people that are angry or aggressive towards us. So the key really in the first step of getting rid of anger and dealing with anger and letting it go is taking an analysis on what is your part in the anger. Two things that really kill relationships is the negative thinking mindset and resentment. So you need to take responsibility if you're still holding on to things. You know, I was working with a couple and she was still upset about something that happened 15 years ago when they went out for a meal and he had received messages from his ex-girlfriend and he hadn't told her. Now, she was still angry about that, even though they'd had a good relationship, they talked about it, they sorted it out, She told the ex-girlfriend to go away and it was all sorted. But yet, 15 years later, she still hasn't got over this. Now, I'm not saying it's not, it's a small thing. Obviously, it was very upsetting for her. But we need to say, am I still holding on to things that aren't serving me? And if yes, am I ready to let them go and get support to let them go if you can't let them go on your own, or work on letting them go yourself?
Yes, so that is such a poignant point, and in many ways, you're right about this long-term letting go of things that have happened and being able to look at instances and saying, well, those instances in themselves, they're not going to be huge things down the line. But it's also interesting to note that really the first step, if you, and what we're talking about here in as far as relationships, is an ongoing problem with anger. I mean, it is natural and normal to have angry times in their life. I know I just got a parking ticket fuming about it, right? And I was angry. And for a moment there, I had to come in and interact with my family. My state was not where it should have been, right? So after we finish today, I'm going to have to go back to my family and sort of say, look, guys, I'm really sorry. I was in a rush there. I just got a parking ticket. It made me angry, and I just couldn't quite be where I should have been. I couldn't be present for you guys, right? But that's just a single instance, that is normal, right? But if we're looking at relationships with this long-term pattern of anger, step one, as far as resolving it, and you sort of covered this in what you just said there, is taking self-responsibility and actually deciding, well, I don't really want to have this anger anymore. So I want to start to look at the instances at the time and start to figure out what that's about and how I can resolve it, right? And actually, I've done a little book on emotional control, and anger is not really any different to any other negative emotions that we have, in the sense that the three steps I've got here really work to get you into an actual present mind and some mindfulness when the actual issue occurs. And then sort of we can look at individual instances, and for individuals over time, they can look at instances that come up over and over, and these three steps really work. So the first step, before you even get to the three steps, is really to decide, okay, I want to attack this anger problem that I've got that comes up in a relationship. But after that, once you've decided, okay, I want change, I want to live a less angry life, or whatever negative emotion it is, the first step is understanding or identifying when these issues arise, what is really happening. And this is a mindfulness thing. For example, in my circumstances just now, I was thinking to myself consciously, I've got this parking ticket, I'm really, really pissed about it. Why am I feeling this way? Well, I'm feeling this way because I just wasted an hour doing a session, which was income, and now I've lost that income straight away because I've got a parking ticket. So, of course you're going to be annoyed, right? So that first step is understanding why, in fact, you're actually angry, right? Now, for a relationship, this could be, why am I angry that my partner is talking to the waitress? Well, because they've proven or they've shown before their promiscuous behavior, that has been frustrating and annoying, and I'm being triggered. However, in this circumstance, is that actually relevant and is that correct? So you can look at the actual instance and say, is this actually the thing that's making me angry, or is it that past stuff, right? So that's step one. Step two is to understand that, do you know what? Actually, it's okay to have emotions. Any negative emotion, like, especially in our industry, so much goes into, and you see this with a lot of life coaches. I don't want to say Anthony Robbins, but I mean, with a lot of famous life coaches, you see them with this whole attitude of state control. We have to control our state. We always have to be pushing towards being positive and living a happy life, because if we want to live a life of abundance and happiness, and that's the goal in life, then we've got to push down or get rid of or deal with and sort of eliminate these negative emotions from our life. Now, yes, of course, that is partly true. However, a rich and full life does have the full spectrum of emotions. If you only experienced flatline or happy emotions, then you really are missing a certain element of your life. So step two is to understand, you know what, actually, it is okay to have emotions, and it's okay to be emotional, right? So they're the first steps. First one, why am I actually feeling this way? Is it a genuine, legitimate concern? What is that? What is it really? Get to the core of it. Step two, understanding, you know what, it's actually okay. It's okay for me to be angry that I made a mistake and got this parking ticket, whatever. Or it's okay for me to feel some protective nature because I really care about my partner and the perception that I have that they're flirting with someone, that's a threat to me. And it's okay for me to feel those emotions. That is actually okay. But the third step, and this is the most important one when we're dealing with negative emotions, is what is appropriate reaction? What is their appropriate response? I might feel that in the inside. When I'm with my partner out somewhere, someone might come and touch her on the arm when they greet her, or go in for a kiss, hello, or whatever it is. That might generate a negative emotion. But you've got to actually consciously think, what's the right thing to do here? Now, in relationships where emotional breakdown occurs and we get a pattern of anger or a pattern of resentment or any negative emotion between the couple, and in fact, it's not for normal reasons. And actually, a couple that is healthy, a couple that is very healthy together, they won't tend to get angry at each other very often. It's a directional thing. So that's going to be the last thing I'm going to talk about, and we'll get to that in a second. But there is appropriate anger and there's inappropriate. And if it is inappropriate, then how we display that is going to be very important. So we're going to talk about, in that sense, appropriate action taking. What is the appropriate action if someone talks to your girlfriend at a pub to go and take a swing at them? And if you have done that in the past, or you've had angry outbursts or caused embarrassment to you as a couple, or even in the home had an angry altercation because of things that have happened, is that the best response, or is there a better response to do? Obviously, there's a way better response. And then also, why is that response occurring? Are you having angry outbursts because is your partner because you're inebriated, right? If you've had too much alcohol or drugs, or because they're coming home straight into an interaction about something serious with you after dealing with something really awful every day, like, you know, are they going to a family member's house where they get traumatized by someone else and coming home and now they're fighting with you and it's a pattern? Or is there someone else negative in their life that they deal with and then that negativity comes onto you? Because you get the law of state transference can often mean that a partner can pick up a negative state from someone else and then come and exhibit it onto you. So once we've analyzed all that stuff, you can look at, okay, what's the best response here? And sometimes injecting more love in than anger can actually resolve not just the issue itself, but also the issue that's making you angry, but also the underlying issue that's coming from your partner. And, you know, these three steps, they just work for any negative emotion. It can work for anxiety. You know, what am I actually feeling? I'm feeling anxious because of X, Y, Z, right? And anxiety can often be about your partner, which sort of leads to jealousy and anger sometimes and other negative emotions. It can actually be an underlying cause of it. But that's just one example. If you're anxious, why am I feeling anxious? Is it rational? Is it going to matter any month, a year, or whatever? Secondly, you know what? It's okay to feel anxious. I might be nervous or jealous or anxious or whatever the negative feeling is, or angry. That's fine. And what is the best thing for me to do to deal with it? If I'm anxious, do I go and take some time out? Do I breathe? Do I just have some quiet time? Or whatever strategy you're going to put in place. And it's no different for the anger. We have to have those three steps. Now, the last thing I wanted to talk about, which is not part of the steps, but it's massively important, directional anger. If you are coming home and you're having altercations with your partner and the anger is directed at each other, but the anger in itself, when we've analyzed it, is actually not because of your partner, it's something else. You're angry. So partners do this. We're angry about something at work, we come home and we fight with our partner about it. We're directing that anger onto our partner. A better way to deal with it, because it is okay to have those emotions, and you are allowed to communicate those to your partner, is to, when you're communicating with your partner, not getting angry at them, but telling them about your anger. And this can be a really important one for people who are bringing baggage home from external sources. If it is in the case of your one of your clients where it's a tidiness thing, then that is a separate issue that needs to be resolved to stop the ongoing frustration, because frustration is always going to lead to anger. But if it is an external issue or a past issue that's being brought up or triggered at home in conversation, the direction of that anger is so important. I've often heard the phrase, you can swear in a relationship, but just not at each other. And that's about directing your anger. So when someone is angry and they're not directing it at their partner, it allows their partner to come in, fill them with love, and that is just like a massive step towards solving someone's internal anger. So that's just a couple of thoughts there. That's how I deal with it with my clients. I go through the three steps and then talk about direction. So far I found that it's a super useful thing.
Yeah, it sounds great. And I totally agree with you. It's really important to look at your why, what's causing it, where is it coming from, and then taking action. And that's that's the crust of it, is knowing your triggers. So what are your triggers? Is it like things around the house? Is it work stress? Is it, what are they? And then having a routine to deal with it. And if your routine of shouting is damaging the marriage or the relationship, then you need to be able to get into a new routine of dealing with anger. So feeling it and then communicating it, and then letting it go is one healthy way. Another healthy way is to channel it by doing physical exercise, going for a walk, meditating, singing. You know, I have one couple that I'm working with, and he's got himself a drum kit. So he goes in to the spare room and bangs it out on the drums. But just having something where you can let go of the anger. Another lady I'm supporting to get through her divorce, you know, she's got a big boxing bag, and she uses that, because you need to have a way to release it. It's not good storing anger inside of us, so it's not good to repress your anger. It's good, as you mentioned, to feel that emotion and then to have the appropriate action. And if you know right now that your actions are damaging you or damaging your relationship, then you need to ask yourself, what could benefit the relationship? What extra things could I do to free myself? Because once we get angry, or once we get really worked up, sometimes you can feel very hot. And it actually takes 20 minutes for the body to cool down. So one thing I really do stress with couples is, do not continue arguing when it gets to that boiling stage. When it gets to that stage where you're fighting, you really then need to have a cool down period, whether you go and make yourself a cup of tea or go for a walk or go and do something else, lie down, but then come back to whatever the issue is at a calm phase. I don't know if you've heard of John Gottman, but he said that harsh startups never result in couples resolving anything. So his work and his research, that he studied lots of couples in a lab, and he found that if couples started with any aggressive tone, then the arguments never went anywhere. They never got resolved. But when arguments were started with, please can we talk about this? I'm concerned. Then things got resolved. And I love your point about showing love. You know, it's often in our most stressed times, our most angry times, the times we snap, that we really need our partner to just hug us, to just hold us, to give us that love, to give us that compassion, rather than also then be angry at us because we're angry. And that's a really good way to get someone out of their anger, because real healthy anger should last not very long at all. It's actually, anger is one of the shortest emotions. So if your anger is lasting a long time, it's either rage or resentment. And so you want to take steps to that. So thank you for joining us on this anger episode today. Ed, did you have any final words of wisdom that you'd like to share?
No, I think that's we've covered that issue pretty well, I think, there. And just on the love thing, when we talk about love, it's one thing to love people, But it's another thing entirely to actually actively show them. And there's a phrase that goes around, and it's so common. And it's, show me that you love me, don't just tell me, right? Or don't just talk about it, actually show me your actions. Or people that that really love you will show you through their actions and not by just telling you, right? But in many ways, it's not really true. Actually, you need to be telling people you love them. You need to be telling them through your affirmation words. And even when you're in a situation where you've got anger, you can diffuse that with words. Words are super important. People forget that words are an expression of communication between us. And where if you want to express your love and express your feelings to your partner, so often it's about words. So often people forget that their actions on their own are just not just sufficient. You need both. So and men do this. Men do this so commonly. I see it all the time. Men go, well, I'm working hard, I'm looking after the kids, I'm doing stuff, I'm taking you out to dinner, I, you know, do all these things. They're doing all these actions, but they're forgetting the crucial element of communicating their love. And in many ways, when this anger occurs, there isn't any action you can do in the moment, apart from maybe touch and hugging and this type of thing. But you need to use your words, you need to communicate your love. And for me, that's a massive key when you're in an anger phase and you're trying to deal with a partner with anger, is to communicate your love through words.
Great. Well, thank you. And I totally agree. Communicating your love, I mean, is really, really special. And also the physical, showing your love in whatever way you can and making your, trying to make your spouse smile or showing them that you're there for them. Because I know in my times when I do get angry or upset, I really want to know that someone is there for me, and however they show me that, words is great, physicalness is great as well. So thank you, and looking forward for you to joining us on our next episode.
Thanks, Nicola. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I'll see you next time.
Great, thanks.
And I forgot to say, if you're struggling in your marriage right now and you want to get some resources, then visit www.savemymarriageprogram.com and go on the free section. There's a tab called free, and underneath that you can get the free ebook, The 7 Secrets to Saving Your Marriage. You can get a free meditation to forgive and let go. You can get a free video, The 10 Keys to Transforming Your Marriage, which is a 40-minute step-by-step guide on how to transform your marriage and what is needed if you are suffering in your relationship and you really want to make it a great one. And then there also is the free quiz, Can My Marriage Be Saved? So go ahead and take advantage of all of these free gifts available for you at www.savemymarriageprogram.com.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free Save My Marriage consultation, please visit www.savemymarriageprogram.com/consult. And if you've enjoyed this episode, Nicola would really appreciate it if you could leave a rating and review on whatever app you're listening through, so the show stays visible, allowing more people to get the support they need to increase their love, passion, and happiness.